just want to share something briefly with you tonight and then take some time when we are through for a few moments of prayer together as a church family, if you would do that with me. Here in recent times, not just this week by no means, but in an increased fashion this week, but in recent weeks, I would say in the last several weeks, I have probably heard two expressions more frequently from more different people than I've heard in quite a long time. The first expression that I hear repeatedly is from people who express in one set of words or another how deep they're hungry for the reality of God. I've had people of our age talk about how they would love to see another great move of God's Spirit. I've had people of other generations, other church backgrounds express that in different ways. But I've heard a lot of that, and I've heard it in increasing numbers to the point that I've taken notice of it. And truthfully, as we all should said, thank the Lord for it, because God's Word bears a promise that says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, we couple that with God's promise that He will fill us. The second expression that I have begun hearing and has been repeated to me by many is an expression that some way or somehow I just feel that God is either doing something or God is getting ready to do something. I can't tell you how many people have just voluntarily come to me and said, I just feel like we are on the cusp here at Central Assembly of God breaking out and doing something wonderful among us. Or others have just gone further than that and said, I believe that God is doing something among us. And I want to join my voice formally with that chorus, that increasing and growing of a chorus of voices, and tell you that across the board as pastors, we believe that God has us poised right on the brink of something dynamic in the realm of the Spirit. If we will just walk in what the Lord opens for us, like I said to you last week and would say to you again tonight, be very careful that you're not looking for something you've known so well in the past that you miss what God does in a bit of a different fashion today than what He did then. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our minds. Let's put up the antennae of our own spirit and recognize what God is doing among us and thank Him for it. I trust, I won't ask, I think I know, but I trust that many of you availed yourselves to our services this week. And quite frankly, a lot of what I've been hearing was in lead up to these days of protracted meeting. We don't have protracted meetings very often anymore, do we? And yet, in lead up to this time together, more and more people would talk to me about their prayer and their fasting and their anticipation of what the Lord was going to do. I had one man come up to me and just give me a detailed account. He says, I have prepared myself. I prepared myself. Last week, I was in this church every day, fasting and praying and preparing myself for what I felt like God wanted to do this week. And I can't tell you how much God has done in my life personally. And that brother's older than I am. And he's saying, God has done something rich and full and rewarding in my life. If you were in these services, all I can tell you is that every night, Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night, the altars were full of people seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God filled many with His Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But in addition to that, across the room, it was amazing and refreshing to me to see men and women of every generation, of every age, with their hearts uplifted, their hands uplifted, uplifted, their voices uplifted, giving vent to what they sense from the Lord. And you know, God always responds to that. He always responds to it. The level with which we feel it and the level with which emotion accompanies it varies. But I just firmly believe when we cry out to God, God responds to us in one fashion or another. I personally give God praise for the incredible number of young people and young adults that attended. I'll be honest with you, and looked out Tuesday night across that auditorium, and that's something I've developed in my pastoral ministry down through the years. I do a lot of observing and somewhat non-verbally saying, Lord, let me see what you're doing here. And I was utterly amazed. There was at one point I said to myself, I am not so sure, but what there are not more people from generations younger than mine in this room tonight than there are seniors in this. Praise God for that. Praise God for that evident hunger that crosses generational lines. I saw lots of people that I didn't know from Adam's Tomcat. I don't know who they were. I don't know where they came from. I'm glad they were here, and I'm glad to see that they were drinking and being filled with what the Lord has to offer. And so I speak to you tonight from the premise that I believe the awakening and the revival that we talked about last Wednesday night, that we are right on the cusp of that just breaking wide open among us. I wouldn't even begin to predict what it's going to look like. I don't know what all it's going to bring with us, but I pray like that pastor we referenced last week who wrote about the fact that for him, revival was not true revival if it only stirred up the church. Revival needs to be so real that it stirs up the community around us. And that's the kind of revival and renewal that I ask him for. I spent some time today in my office thinking about this subject one more time. Obie, I need one of those papers if there are any left. I don't even know what I said, so I better have one. And just to be flat out honest with you, I really just sat and tried to listen to the Lord and let him share some things with me that I feel like he wants me to share with you. And I want to start in the 5th chapter of John, the first 9 verses. This is a very intriguing passage of Scripture. And some of you will read that passage of Scripture and yours will be different than mine. And there'll be another one that's different from ours, because the various translations, as we all know well and good, come from different ancient Greek manuscripts. And there's more Greek manuscripts than we are aware of, and they don't all say precisely the same thing. So there's always been a little bit of turmoil, if I can use that word, about this particular passage of Scripture. You know this story. It's about the healing of the Lord at the Pool of Bethesda. And you know how the story goes, if I can just tell it traditionally to you. This is where Jesus comes along and comes to those 5 arches, or those 5 colonnades at the Pool of Bethesda. And he says to us that within those arches, or around those colonnades, there was a large number of sick people, blind, he mentions, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And that's the part that's not in every version. If you're using the ESV, which we are using here at Central now, you'll find that that verse is not included in that version. And that's true across the board in various translations. It's not necessarily the fact that Bible scholars decided we don't like that verse, so we're going to leave it out. More than ever, it is a manuscript that didn't contain that verse in the first place, where another manuscript from another translation did contain it. That's why we get these diverse things. But you know that story there, that this scripture tells us that there was this huge number of sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water, because according to the Holman Christian Standard Bible, an angel would go down into the pool from time to time and stir up the water. Then the first one who got in after the water was stirred up recovered from whatever ailment he had. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man said, "I don't have a man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me." Jesus just simply looked at him and said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And note that there's no struggle to get into the water. There's no watching for the ripples on the surface. He just simply says, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And instantly the man got well, picked up his mat and started to walk. Now, as you read this passage of scripture, I am not at all interested tonight in debating the omission or the addition of that one particular phrase about the angel troubling the water. That's for Dr. Harris's class or for somebody else's theological study. I'm not saying that it isn't significant. I'm not saying there's not issues there that we ought to study, but that's not my purpose tonight. When I read that passage of scripture about all of these sick people sitting around that pool in anticipation that sooner or later the waters would be troubled, and if they could respond to that, and if they were the first one to respond to that, they would be healed. That was what the whole story says to us. And I boil that down to one thing, two things rather. Number one, God doing something, and man responding when God does it. That's what that boils down to. God doing something and man recognizing that and responding to what God is doing. Now, I have to tell you that as I plunged into this a little bit further and began to look at this a little bit further, the fact of the conflict of yes, it's there and no, it isn't there, and it's in parentheses at the bottom of the page, no, it's part of the that began to bother me. And I really let it get under my skin and spent more time looking at it than what I really should today, until finally I read the whole story one more time and I said, wait a minute. That part boils down to God doing something and man responding to what God is doing. But when you get beyond that, down to the coming of Jesus, Jesus decided to do something. And when Jesus decided to do something, it was with the man needing healing to respond to what Jesus was doing. So it's the very same situation. Jesus decided to intervene. Jesus decided to say to him, "Do you want to get well? Then get up." And when Jesus did something, when Jesus in his own fashion stirred the water by saying, "Okay, this can change today. I can bring about a dramatic transition of your fortunes if you will hear what I'm saying and respond to it. I'm doing something. Hear my voice and recognize the power in my voice. Get up. If you want to be well, get up." And God's word says the man stood up, he was healed, he was well, and he began to walk. Now, my simple word for you tonight is when God is moving, do something.
Yes.
Do something. And I have been really impressed by the fact that where we are right now, and we may not totally agree exactly where we are. Some of you may be sitting there saying, "Well, I haven't seen anything that looks like revival to me." That's okay if that's what you want to say. Others of you may be sitting there saying, "What I've experienced in my heart is already revival. I am experiencing the move of God in my life." And all degrees of conviction and posturing in between as we were to move across this building. But I'm gonna say tonight from where I stand, what I've already said two times, I believe this is where we are. We are on the cusp of God breaking out and doing something that we have been hungering for and seeking for and looking for. And all I've got to say to us, when God is beginning to do something, then we need to respond. And my request tonight is, when God is moving, pray. When God is moving, pray. And I've given you a list tonight of five things that I believe the Spirit of the Lord pressed upon me this afternoon that we need to be praying about right now. Maybe the Lord will give you five others. But I think at this particular point, there are things as a church family that we need to pray for. And let me just go through them very quickly, and then we're going to take some time to start praying over them. Number one, we need to pray for humility. Remember the scripture we looked at last week? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I was impressed more than one time when Brother Enlow this week brought the issue of humbling ourselves and coming in humility back to the table multiple times, telling us that's where we begin with God, is to humble ourselves. And I want us to recognize that that's something that we need to continually do. It's not about me. It's not about us. Revival is about God. I have seen you, Habakkuk said. I have seen your deeds. He didn't say, I've seen the value of headquarters across the street, or I've seen the size of the charismatic movement. No, he says, I've seen you, God, and I've seen your deeds. We need to humble ourselves and realize that we are nothing in this, and he is everything. We need to pray for humility. Secondly, I believe we need to pray for protection upon the house, both the house and the family of God. And by that, I mean upon the corporate body, the whole structure that we call Central Assembly, and then every member of the family. We need to be praying for ourselves corporately, and we need to be praying for every individual. How do we pray? What do we pray for at a time when God is moving by His Spirit? Well, there's a lot of things we can pray for. You know, I'm not super old. 65 is not near as old as it used to be. And some of you still look at me as wet behind the ears. But I'm not. I'm creaky in the bones. That's all I can tell you. But I've been around long enough to know that revival is seldom clean. The move of God is seldom orderly and just right, and everything comes off the way it's supposed to come off. Manifestations of the Spirit are not all perfect. And the way God moves on people in prayer is not always orderly and comely, and everything is just nice. And so I believe that when God is beginning to move, we need to pray about things like that. We need to pray that God will give us wisdom. We need to pray that God will give us liberty, but we also need to pray that He will give us wisdom. We need to pray that God will move on our emotions, upon our mind, upon our hearts, upon every aspect of our lives, but we need to pray that as He is moving, we will be protected from error. We will be protected from excess. We will be protected from narrow, preconceived ideas. We'll be open. We can tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to do anything in my life you want to do, as long as you do it the way I'm accustomed to. That's true. We are very comfortable with the way things are. We're always more comfortable with the things that we know than with things that are different or new or innovative or creative or just different. So we need to pray for protection upon both the house and the family of God. You know, I don't believe revival can really occur that doesn't sweep people into the kingdom of God. If people aren't being saved, I had an African friend that came over from Africa, and On a lark or out of personal curiosity, he wanted to go to a particular revival in a particular part of the country that was kind of in vogue at that time. And it was being marked by particular things happening. And so this very manifestations happening. So this very practical African goes to this revival. And when he came back, I pulled him aside, and sitting there in our language, I began to say, now, I want you to be honest with me, and I want you to tell me, what's your impression about this revival? He didn't hesitate. He said, you know, he said, for us, it's not all that laughing. It's not all that wallowing on the floor. It's not all that spinning in circles. It's not all of those particular things that they seem to do at that place. We saw all of that, but that's not what I use to gauge whether or not this is real or not. He says, because for me, what counts And what makes the difference is the number of people who are genuinely finding the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. All these other things are secondary as long as men and women are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, give us a revival. That's not something we look back on because of the emotion. Or we don't look back on it out of nostalgia, as we said last week. But we look back on it because we see men and women whose lives have been transformed by the power of God, regardless of what kind of atmosphere it may or may not be in. So pray for protection upon both the house and the family of God. I believe that prayer of protection should also be a prayer for unity, that God will protect our unity and our togetherness. It would be incredible pleasure for the enemy to come down on the cusp of a powerful move of God and cause something to divide us and separate us and divide our emotions, divide our attention, divide our commitment one for another. So I believe, I would say to you tonight, especially and fervently pray for the unity and the oneness and the bond and the togetherness of our family, which we call Central Assembly, and put feet on those prayers and do everything you can do to strengthen that unity and that oneness in your own strength and your own efforts. Number three, I think when God is moving, we should pray for preservation, conservation, and continuing growth of the fruits of God's touch on our lives. Especially do I believe this is true for young people. I don't know how many of you had that experience. I think maybe I even mentioned this last week. I don't know where you go off to youth camp and you come home red hot. I mean, you've got ants in your pants. You can't sit down. You can't stand up. You can't shout loud enough. You can't stay in the altar long enough the first week. And the second week, that's about 90% of the first week. And the third week, it's about 70% of the first week. And the fourth week, and you see what I'm talking about here. That happens to all of us. Therefore, when God is moving and we see young men and women, we see older men and women getting a new touch from God, they tell you they've had a new touch from God. They demonstrate in their face and their language that they've had a new touch from God. That's the time we pray, God, don't let that fire burn low. Don't let that zeal diminish. Let it grow. Let it continue. Let them continue to mature. They've tasted, they've seen that the Lord is good. Now let that just blossom in their hearts and lives as they grow and seek more of the Lord. So pray for the preservation and the conservation and the continuing growth of the fruits of God in the lives of individuals. Number four, this is the time to pray for the lost. Pray for prodigals. We've been praying for prodigals. Now is not the time to stop that. Pray for our neighbors. And number three, pray for the nations of the world. I believe that's the purpose of revival, is to sweep men and women into the kingdom of God. So we need to be praying for the lost. I think on the cusp of God breaking out among us, we need to be aware that when conviction comes on some people, they get as cantankerous and ornery as they've ever been in their lives. That's okay. Just keep praying. Just keep loving them. Just keep believing them. Now is not the time to quit praying for prodigals. Now is not the time to turn our backs on our neighbors because of what's happening internally that is so glorious and so wonderful for us. Now is the time to do more. He said that we would receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. For what purpose? That we might be His witnesses. Number five, I want us to pray for the clear voice of God speaking and leading us both in hearing the Word of God and ultimately in doing the Word of God. We haven't arrived at where we are, either individually in our spiritual lives or collectively as the body of Christ that we call Central Assembly. We haven't arrived here nonchalantly or accidentally. It has to be intentional. We seek after God. We long after God. We reach for the face of God. We look for God. We want God. We hunger and we desire Him. And if we needed God to respond to us, to get us where we are today, if we're going on down this road of spiritual progress, we're going to need His voice speaking to us every day. We need to be praying, God, where do you want me to go from here? God, what's next in my life? It's not over. I've not arrived because I spoke in tongues last night. What's next for me, Lord? What's down the road of my spiritual future? We need to be praying for the clear voice of God continually speaking among us. We need to pray for every voice in this family we call Central Assembly that is responsible for ever presenting to us the message of God. We need to pray for Pastor Jeff. We need to pray for Pastor Mike. We need to pray for Pastor David. We need to pray for every one of the pastors. We need to pray for our hospital visitation team as they go into the hospitals with the Word of God, words of encouragement, words of uplift. We need to pray for our Sunday school teachers and our Christian education people, our small group leaders, our auxiliary leaders. We need to pray for every opportunity where voices are used to present the Word of God, that it will be true and spot on and as clear as a trumpet sound, so that we can know where God is leading us and what He has for us next. Now that's a pretty big prayer order. Pray for humility. Pray for protection upon both the house and the family of God. Pray for preservation, for conservation, and continuing growth of the fruits of God's touch on our lives. Pray for the lost, prodigals, neighbors, and nations. Pray for the clear voice of God speaking and leading us, that we will both hear God's word and that we will do, we will perform, we will respond to the word of God. I just invite you to take that and tuck it in your Bible. Maybe you'll never look at it again. Maybe you'll say, that's really not my list, and you'll come up with your own. That'll be perfect. That'll be wonderful if that's what happens to you. But when the waters are stirring, that's the time to respond. And I have felt very strongly today that my message for you tonight is at this point, as the people of God, our response should be not to sit back and thank God for what He's doing, but to use this time to pray and fortify our hunger for God and fortify our reception of what God is doing and fortify where we're going tomorrow. Can you receive that tonight and join me in prayer in that direction?